Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Omaha Steaks Black Friday deals landed early. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select favorites, including incredible deals on USDA-certified tender Omaha Steaks. These are the deals you've been waiting for all year. Don't wait. Shop now to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select favorites at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code BLACKFRIDAY at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
And thanks for joining me for another Blunt Business here on CannabisRadio.com. Thank you all for joining me here on the program. So, we have a guest that recently appeared on our grassroots marketing series that is joining me here on Blunt Business, and to go into a larger scale, talk about the upcoming MJ BizCon, which is coming up December 2nd through the 5th at the Las Vegas Convention Center. Of course, an annual gathering of thousands and thousands of great exhibitors and a lot of attendees coming to Vegas, make the pilgrimage there to one of the biggest cannabis trade shows there is. And here to go and talk about it once again, I'm here with the, first guest is a seasoned marketing and content strategy executive, over 20 years of experience, extensive background in brand development and experiential marketing from global brands like Nike, Adidas, and iconic events such as ComplexCon to the cannabis industry. And that is Emily Lewis, Senior Vice President and Brand Leader of MJ Biz. And I'm also joined by their Vice President of Sales. He's an experienced global sales director, demonstrated a history of working with international B2B and B2C senior business leaders from small businesses to large Fortune 500s. Harrison Rady also joins me here on Blunt Business. Thank you both for being on.
Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Now, Emily, just to go ahead and bring people up to speed, on the Grassroots Marketing Program, we discussed the MJ Bowls, the first bi-coastal competition celebrating California and New York's MVP cannabis products. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to the episode, I would highly recommend to go look for it. Just it was a couple weeks ago. Just look on the Grassroots Marketing channel at CannabisRadio.com or wherever you find podcasts. And there's been some events that you've been going on with right now leading up to MJ Bowl. And I've been looking at your LinkedIn page. You've been quite active and on the road there. And considering the event's success in highlighting regional excellence, tell me about the role that you see that types of state-specific, community-driven competitions play on this national or global cannabis market that are dominated by multi-state operators.
Yeah, it's been a busy few weeks. I think the last time that we talked, we were about to announce the launch of MJ Bowl, which we did. I believe it was like a day before we announced it, maybe when we spoke. So yes, to your point, it's been a busy few weeks. For those that didn't hear the Grassroots podcast, MJ Bowl is the first bi-coastal cannabis competition, including two of the biggest giants in our industry, New York and California. And so we are going to be choosing five different winners from New York and California in different product categories come December at MJ BizCon. And to go back to your question, the reason that this is important, and you know, Jocelyn Sheltraw, who is the co-founder and CEO of Buddhist and our partner in the MJ Bowl, and I spoke a little bit about this on that Grassroots podcast. We feel that the industry, while cannabis has been around for, you know, since the dawn of time, at the end of the day, the industry is still young. And one thing that the industry really, really has, in my opinion, started sinking their teeth into in the last few years is the consumer. And we feel the consumer is so important. And from, you know, the misinformation out there to the consumer, to just some of the unknowns and about our consumer and who our consumer is and how they differ from ages to medical, you know, issues or ailments to maybe for recreational purposes. Our consumer is very, very vast in the cannabis industry. And so we really wanted to celebrate not only the educators in our industry, the buddhists, the gongier, the people that have really taken the time, energy, and effort and gone the extra mile to educate themselves on the plant and become, you know, certified buddhists or gongiers. We also wanted to celebrate the consumer and give the consumer a chance to tell us what they think about product, what they, you know, what they smell, what they taste, what the difference in reaction and experience is from their standpoint. So
that's what you mentioned before on the actual program before that. You were talking about doing more consumption-driven events and having a new consumer-centric direction for MJ Biz. So when you have this here, that was what MJ Bowl's really here to go ahead and bring more people to the talk to get real commentary and just get real feedback from the, for those that are consumers and then their enthusiasts to get their take on it. And so far, what can you tell me about the response so far about how many people have wanted to go ahead and participate in this contest? And, you know, has been a lot more response than you expected? And is it something that, how's it been able to be, to manage that my kind of inflow?
Yeah, we were very, very surprised that we got several submissions the first day of launching, actually within the first few hours. So yes, the submissions have been overwhelming in such a positive way. So what that tells us is that this is long overdue. This is something that our industry needs and wants, and we want to celebrate the product. And at the end of the day, MJ Biz is everything from seed to sell. While we are the largest globally B2B cannabis event, we are everything from seed to sell. And that includes everything from the seed at that stage to growing the plant, to, you know, drying and curing the plant, to processing the plant, all the way to the final product. So we really are everything. And this is just an evolution of MJ to include that very end and final stage and really to talk about the consumer more.
Now, Harris, I want to bring you into this conversation because if we're looking to go ahead and have where MJ Biz is now bringing more of a B2C aspect to it, I know that in a conference series that we hosted ourselves via Cannabis Radio, the United States Cannabis Conference and Expo, which is since COVID, that was one of the, it was a bit of a, you know, a lot of conferences got compromised as a result of that. But the thing was, we also tried to go in that approach of bringing that B2C aspect along with business to business. And just want to get your idea about, with events like this, the approach that you can get for those that, well, you know, you might have people that are already going regularly to Vegas, you know, because of tourism reasons. Anyway, a lot of people now, the draw, the go is for cannabis consumption lodges. So there's obviously cannabis enthusiasts are being welcomed more and more with more reasons and more incentives to go to Vegas. How do you draw them to MJ Biz?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a make an evolution. We've had to take a deep look at where everything's at right now with the industry. This year we've announced we've taken over Nuwu, and Nuwu, if you aren't aware, is about 10 minutes away from the Las Vegas Convention Center, and it's a dispensary, a consumption lounge. There's a festival area there. We're doing a takeover there because we have recognized, just as Emily said, we are from seed to sale, and we want to celebrate the retailers and the consumers. So every night of the show this year, from the December 2nd through the 5th, we're going to be having consumption events offsite. And what this allows for is the brands that are showing on the trade show floor can continue those conversations after the show closes, and be able to have consumers taste and they're able to sell or sample for the industry, which we haven't been able to have at the convention center in years past. It's a federally owned building and consumption just wasn't a part of it. So we're trying to complete the life cycle, complete the circle. And we have some really cool celebrations there each night. So we want to make it different. For example, on Wednesday night, we're celebrating seeds and clones. And that also ties back to everything we're talking about today. And we're going to have other events where we're giving a reason for consumers to partake and really celebrate what it's all about, which is the flower and you know, the way it works with consumers, whether that's medically or recreationally.
And Emily, when we talked before, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, just to jump on what Harrison said, this is really an extension of MJ Biz. So if we're starting, you know, in the morning and through the day and having our conference, our education, and that's where the business is done, this is a natural progression into the nighttime for that side of the industry. So it's just an extension of MJ Biz at the end of the day.
And also to add on to that, there's a lot happening during the week, and we recognize that.
No, and I know some of the things that were being brought up that Emily brought up on the last issue, and I'll bring that back up here. So there was also the Global Exchange focusing on international cannabis markets, a grow hub for curated content, discussions on cultivation and farming, and also, you know, including an indigenous cannabis village to celebrate tribal communities' contributions to the industry, Nuwu actually being a dispensary in tribal land. So a lot of integration, a lot of that international involvement, you know, realizing those that pioneered the plant before us, those areas are being all enveloped into MJ Biz going on. And so how much more do you feel like in terms of resources and effort are being brought in to create that, make that possible?
And that's what we're working on a daily basis. We have, I think when Emily and I started, we had about 60 partnerships. Now we have about 200. So we're constantly looking for the right partners. And ways we can celebrate each tribe of the industry. We don't want to leave anyone out. You know, it's obviously retail can be the one easily talked about and put on a pedestal. But, you know, we are that complete life cycle. So we're looking at ways to celebrate each community within the trade show.
And the one thing that I'll say is it's not just lip service. I know that, you know, sometimes people, we all do it. We tend to go to an event. We're there for 3 or 4 days. We soak in all the information and then we walk away. And within a week, we all tend to be on to the next thing. I think what you'll see from the team at MJ Biz in the last year and in years moving forward is we really are trying to listen to our community, become a part of the community, hear what they need. And that is really starting to dictate our strategy moving forward. And, you know, again, I think it's just the evolution and innovation of MJ BizCon. Because when MJ BizCon started over 14 years ago, you know, you only had one state that was online, one coming online. You essentially had two states. And throughout the course of the last 14 years, we now see over 40 states that are either medically or rec legal. And so as our industry matures, MJ Biz is maturing and innovating and changing. And I think that change that you'll see is that we really don't want to be an event that lasts for 4 or 5 days and people, you know, walk away and a week later, they're on to something new. We really want to be there, you know, 365, 24/7. We want to know what's happening in our community. We want to be, you know, boots on ground in the different regions where we have staff and team members and be a part of the community to really be able to give them what they need every year, year after year.
We're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, I want to go into the agenda and what are the hot topics that are coming into MJ Biz Con again, December 2nd through 5th, Las Vegas Convention Center, mjbizconference.com, and of course, mjbiz.com. If you want to go just look at everything that's all MJ Biz year round. And once again, we're here with Emily Lewis, Senior Vice President and Brand Leader, Harrison Rainey, Vice President of Sales at MJ Biz. Back with more questions after this. Welcome back to Bump Business. I'm here with Emily Lewis, Senior Vice President, Brand Leader at MJ Biz, and Harrison Rainey, who's also MJ Biz's Vice President of Sales. Looking into the agenda, various conference tracks, we're looking at finance and banking, cannabis business 101, marketing, branding, advertising, cannabis science and medicine, policy, regulatory compliance, always extremely important. Mm-hmm. And there's various other topics. Now, and some of the topics you have, some of them that have been featured so far are going to be AI applications in cannabis, customer acquisition and retention strategies, policy, regulatory updates. Let's go into a couple of those in real quick. So when it comes to AI, I mean, we're seeing, I think by now a lot of people are already finding their way into either using ChatGPT or Perplexity or ChatGPT or Gemini right now to go ahead and incorporate. They're starting to realize the process search engines are starting to go by the wayside, that people are starting to search for content now through AI and trying to go ahead and use as much as they can to manage some of their business tactics, take away some of the extra work that's being done, trying to find a way to go ahead and incorporate, but at the same time, micromanage more of what is being done. And some of the areas that you're going to talk about when it comes to AI, and also even with just specifically in that, give me any kind of clue about what you're getting from the tracks and sessions you're going to have featured and what people should be looking forward to.
Yeah, well, to speak to AI, I think what's really exciting in the cannabis industry that's happening with AI really has to do with the cultivation side of our business. Cultivation and the manufacturing processing side of our businesses, because the machinery that we use every day in this industry, there are several companies that are figuring out ways to use AI to make it smarter, faster, more efficient, more controlled. As we know, outdoor grows are, you know, really, I'm not going to say becoming a thing of the past, because I live in California and we have some, you know, amazing outdoor grows with the weather that we have here. But with, you know, over 40 states now legalizing, it really is that use of technology, which includes AI, to be able to grow year round and to have year round production cycles in a controlled environment. So I think there's some really, really exciting things. Doesn't mean you need to be a cultivator to, you know, sit and learn, because I'm a marketer. Harrison's in sales. We use AI every day and it makes our life, you know, a lot easier, more efficient. But I think there's some really, really, really exciting innovations and technology that are going to come out.
Yeah, cultivators are able to use AI to get ahead of, you know, maybe certain disease in plants or anything, so they can stay ahead of the game and have a successful crop and yields.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that first day of sessions, you actually have several tracks that are basically AI, but also specifically on data. And I actually noticed quite a few people that are actually on the sessions have already been featured here on this program and Grassroots Marketing. Yeah. So with a lot of familiarity with that. And when it comes to the analytics and with AI, specifically, we're looking at the direction of, you know, consumer behavior. We're looking at the area of, you know, yield and trying to get an idea of what's the best time to understand when to go ahead and yield the most to go ahead and sell the most.
Yes. And you bring up a really good point when it comes to data, because I think there's nothing more crucial to everybody's business, doesn't matter what business you're in, than data. And so again, using AI and using smarter technology and systems around AI to a retail store to get smarter about what your client is buying, so that you can in turn get smarter about your buys and have less waste. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, we all want to grow more, to then sell more, to then increase our revenue and our yield. So I think that there is throughout the stream of the chain and the cycle from, you know, seed to sell, there's several different new innovations that, you know, companies are telling us about that you'll get to hear about at MJ Biz. AI plays a role in all of that.
Yeah, there's some mind-blowing technology coming out with AI in retail. Our business services area of the show is really ramped up to feature a lot of that awesome technology.
Yeah, but I think beyond that, to answer your question about what will you find at MJ, because we are the last conference of the year and we really end the year for the industry, we work really hard to make sure that you're not hearing a recycled conversation that happened in March or April or June or even October and September and October. And so that's really our goal, is that when you step foot into MJ Biz, you're hearing a conversation that's relevant to your business in some way, but it's not a conversation that you've heard throughout the rest of the year. So you do find some very different topics or some very different speakers at MJ. I can tell you one theme for us this year is really thinking about maybe those subject matters where there are very strong opinions on opposite sides and bringing those conversations together in a very elevated and I would say progressive way, not an us versus them way, but a very progressive way of how do we all work together? What is your viewpoint versus this viewpoint? All have relevant viewpoints, but how does this help the whole of the industry? So some of those might be, you know, beverages. Beverages are a hot topic. Everybody's talking about them. They're making a ton of money.
Actually, one area I would love to talk about in this very realm would be psychedelics. Yeah. And I noticed on Thursday, the third day of the show, You have quite a few tracks when it comes to psychedelics, veteran advocacy to psychedelic awareness. And then there's also just going through the setting up right now, just looking as we see this, oh, the intersection of cannabis and psychedelics, synergies and challenges.
Yeah.
So that area, you know, it's been only in the future of psychedelic medicine as well, Mindful Capital. So in that area, about 3 years or so that really cannabis and psychedelics, we're starting to see that synergy together. Even with Cannabis Radio, we started incorporating programming to support that area because we saw plant medicine still plant medicine at the end of the day. So in that change, I know MJ BizCon has tried to go ahead and incorporate that into the mix as well. And that will be one of those areas, obviously, that trying to bring a come together moment. So tell me about that part in terms of, well, I know companies have brought into incorporating psychedelics into their portfolio, but give me a take of what's been so going on so far and what you've learned from trying to create that connection.
Yeah, I mean, you have this group of OG psychedelics that have been, you know, advocating for psychedelics for years and years now. And then you have a group of psychedelics curious, but very heavy into cannabis. And I think bringing those two groups together makes sense because, to your point, the conversations are overlapping. Psychedelics is starting to enter, you know, it's entering the legalization process. Unfortunately, you know, we had some things that did not pass last year, but they're going to start going through the same cycles that cannabis has gone through. Again, I always say this, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. And so I think that some of the learnings from the cannabis community could really help the psychedelics community, but also maybe some of the things that the cannabis community didn't do well, the psychedelics community can learn from. But I do think that there's crossover. I think you're going to see more and more crossover in terms. I mean, you see now more and more people microdosing. I mean, that is a big thing. You now see more and more dispensaries starting to talk to their clients about those kind of things. But, you know, we're just not at the point of legalization yet. But I do think, again, you're not going to put the genie back in the bottle. And the two sides of this conversation, getting them on a stage to talk about how they can help each other and how we can move both industries forward as one is the right conversation to have.
And part of it is that there is this that sector that also could just incorporate it. And to having that one great large conference to go to where there have been other conferences out there that just are not so consistent. They're not there out there every year available for everybody to go to. So if MJ Biz can kind of go ahead and pick up on that, that's what you're doing right now with a lot more sessions being brought into the mix. And I saw that was one of the things that was brought in as well. And of course, that's just a plethora of the specific forms and tracks for different business areas that you have right now, financial, marketing, the science. So when it comes to, I know for myself, when I got to go and do programming and scheduling of agendas for our conferences, it was a matter of using Cannabis Radio as the conduit to realize, okay, what's the pulse of the industry right now? What should we be talking about? And it worked really well. How does the MJ Biz Daily platform really help to go ahead and take the pulse of what people are going to want to hear at an MJ Biz conference? Tell me about that part, how that works together. And how much is brought into the thought process when you're getting it scheduled and put together?
Well, and I think Harrison can back me up on this one. MJ Biz Daily is crucial to our business. It's a critical part of what we do. Our editors on that side, and you know, they're the ones that have their pulse to what's happening in the industry, their ears to the ground. They absolutely help inform what we're going to be talking about. So they're absolutely critical because they're having those conversations every day, all day about what's happening in the industry. But I think, you know, when it comes to what we're going to talk about, here's, you know, something that is always interesting in this industry. We have a fully fleshed conference schedule right now. That conference schedule could change next week.
And not only is it the editorial, but we listen to our audience. So our exhibitors, our attendees, there's a whole submission process that goes through. We vet thousands and thousands of submissions to make sure we are touching the topics that are most relevant.
Yeah. And those topics in this industry could change really quickly. And the reason I say that is because I'm sure that, you know, the industry is going to buzz about, is Trump going to reschedule? Is he going to deschedule? Is something going to happen? If something in this, with an industry that is, you know, still in its infancy, like cannabis is, those changes are critical. So we could be talking about a completely different conference schedule in a week, in 2 weeks, a week before the show, if something like that were to happen, because we're going to react quickly and we're going to make sure that wherever that industry, wherever our industry is right before you come to the show, that's what we're talking about. So we plan as much as we can, but as we know in this industry, if things change, if legalization changes, if there are big conversations, we always have a backup plan to make room for those conversations to make sure that, again, the customer, the consumer, the, you know, the employee that's coming to sit in here and be educated feels like they are, you know, walking away with new knowledge and new information that's going to help their business.
On the conference side and on the expo side. So we're ready for anything that might come. We have game plans in place to make sure that we're staying relevant.
Now, the one other thing I want to go before we go to break and stay on this point about agenda that's trying to bring a come together moment for the industry. The other area I would look at is policy and compliance. And I would put compliance ahead of policy before just in my own opinion. But there is the thing about, I've always talked about on this program, self-policing. So there's obviously, when it comes to hemp, you know, there's been not a whole lot of direction when it comes to the hemp bill in terms of what people should be following. And I always see so many companies can do whatever they want. But in cannabis, it's also fact is, you know, there are industry standards that are out there for compliance, which is good manufacturing practices or even something more than that. And there's a lot of companies, you know, that have voluntarily decided to go that route. And that's wonderful. But I'd like to go and see more companies try to embrace that route as well and not just the bare minimum when it comes to, you know, having the insurance necessary or the risk aversion or just a matter of they have to put that cost in and bake it in because they need to go and have compliance so that once the industry gets regulated, if the reclassification comes in, if the DEA becomes more involved, whoever's going to be that governing body, cannabis should be already ready and prepared proactively for that. So tell me about what you have right there in terms of the compliance and on the agenda that attests to that part.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been trying to stay ahead of that even without anything passing that we've all been hoping for. And I think this might be a good segue to bring in our state meetups that we've had every year at the show. And we're increasing that. So last year, very successful. It was probably the number one topic in our feedback from the show was our hubs at our event or our hub last year. We had it in our retail section where we had states meet up, talk about what's going on. And then it was also a good segue for any company that's looking to expand. We couldn't fit all the states and all these meetups last show. So we're expanding that this year. We're having a hub with these meetups, not only in retail in our central hall, but we've also expanded that to have a separate one in our north hall, which is cultivation.
Mm-hmm. And to further that conversation, on the conference stage, what you're going to find are some of the higher level topics. So in terms of compliance or regulatory issues, you're going to find higher level topics. But we know this industry, you need that higher level knowledge, but you also need to break it down state by state. And so to Harrison's point, when we do our state meetups, we have a host, we have someone in the state that is very influential that rallies that state for that hour, and they get to talk about specifically, okay, we heard on the big stage this, this, and this. Now, how is that going to affect, you know, Minnesota? How is that going to affect Ohio? How is that going to affect us in our backyard, and what can we do? So it really is a great extension of what you're getting on the conference floor and then taking that to the expo floor and getting to sit at a round table with those that are in your own backyard. So I really urge people, look on our website. Do not miss your state meetup, because that is a crucial element to coming to the show. And we hear it again from everyone that that is their one of their favorite parts of MJ Events.
We're going to come back with more questions. And then coming up, we want to go and talk more about the experience of going to MJ Biz and the experience of going to Vegas. There's a lot to go into that. And I want to just take some final questions to go ahead and bring out with my guest here on Blunt Business for this program, Emily Lewis, Senior Vice President and Brand Leader at MJ Biz, and Harrison Rady, Vice President of Sales at MJ Biz. We'll be back with final questions after this. We're talking about the upcoming MJ BizCon, December 2nd through 5th, Las Vegas Convention Center here on Blunt Business. And again, website, MJBizCon.com. Biz Conference, mjbizconference.com, or of course mjbiz.com to find all things. And you know, we were mentioning before about MJ Biz Daily, bookmark it. There's a lot to go through every day. I look at every day for news. You should do it as well. The Vegas experience. Now, we've already talked about Nuwoo, the takeover there, and the new consumer aspect of trying to get more people to come in, not just to be a business-to-business show, but business-to-consumer as well, incorporating that and a lot of new innovations we've talked about here on the program. One of the other areas is that, you know, Vegas has gone through a lot of change itself. And with Vegas right now, I mean, the experience of going over there, it might be different than what people might perceive in terms of the cost experience for them or to go like it was. It's not like the same thing, whereas where, you know, the kind of perks you might get at a casino, things like that. There's that experience outside of the old conference experience that people go to Vegas for as well. That's why it's always been a convention go to. With those changes, what can you tell me that you've had a chance to interact with the convention center there and the folks there in terms of making that Vegas experience still just as wonderful as it always has?
Yeah, Vegas has changed. It's always been rallied, you know, around the events that are happening. But we understand, you know, they're building, they have the stadium for the Raiders now. They're building a baseball stadium as well. And there's a lot of events happening throughout the show. And we, part of the idea with Nuwoo is we've recognized that and we're giving our attendees a direction. There's a lot that happens outside. We know that people come to Vegas, not necessarily spend the whole time on the trade show floor. We're giving more and more reasons to come back year over year and be able to attend and give something for everyone, a reason to be attending. And yeah, go ahead, Em.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, to Harrison's point, Vegas definitely has changed, but Vegas is still Vegas. I mean, you still can get top Michelin rated chefs and eat at the best restaurants in the world.
The shows are still there. The new casinos, right. The attractions are always going to be there. It's just that it has changed a lot. And the other thing too is that you also have where when they allowed the cannabis consumption lounges, now you have that area where the interest of cannabis has become much more first and foremost.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, you know, Vegas, while it has changed, is still a city that welcomes conventions and conferences. And so we still work with similar groups that, you know, for example, we work with the Tao Group and we had discounts on different restaurants that are in their portfolio for all of our attendees. And that's always been a great perk. You have the Sphere now, which I still haven't actually seen a show. I know Harrison's seen a show there, but
for my family to Backstreet Boys.
Yeah. And I hear it's amazing. I haven't seen a show. I did a tour of it, but I haven't seen a show there. And so I'm always trying to find a show that's in or around that time to go to. But yeah, to Harrison's point, I think, you know, there's more to do in Vegas if we ever thought that was a possibility, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. Now you've got sports teams in the Sphere and, you know, you've got residencies that are constantly coming into Vegas. So yes, there it has changed. And yes, we do realize that, you know, just like everything else in today's world, prices definitely, you know, we've seen them fluctuate. But more to do is always a good thing. So.
And we are looking at ways to combat the pricing. You'll see very shortly, even with hotels, we're looking at lower cost hotels as an option as part of even our room block, just to make sure it's welcoming for everyone and people can bring their staff and it's not busting the wallet too much.
And over the years, even before the change in ownership of MJ Biz, you know, everybody knew, okay, end of the year, Vegas is going to be a nice time to go and go there. It's not going to be hot. And, you know, it's one of those things where even also just the accommodating of the time, because it used to always be right around the Thanksgiving period. It's been moved a couple of weeks a little bit later on. And it's always been trying to find that sweet spot somewhere after in the middle of the holidays to make that show, you know, a viable option. But the other thing too is that it's the overwhelming aspect also where the show has grown so much again in 14 years. It just the size of it now is crazy. But also to keep that up. So for some companies that go out there, if you want to just speak to the exhibitors out there or those potential exhibitors that are on the fence and saying, you know, I don't know if I have the money to go and spend this time around, but, you know, I know there's something about this. if you had to go and speak out to some of those people out there that are on the fence saying, you know what, I should go register, I should go find a booth. I want to just make sure that people can go ahead and find us, and they can go ahead and reach out to us and network with us, and we get the right kind of people coming to our booth, because everybody can come through. And it could be who knows who you find, but you want to make sure the right people get to you. I know you have different areas that you have structured networking opportunities, like empowering women, achieving equity, the state takeovers, the new takeover that you have as well. There's obviously places to go and do networking, but also just to make sure that business can be done and the right people approach the right booths. Tell me about that part that you think, if anybody's on that hang up, what should they be thinking about from your end?
Yeah, I think it's just like anything else. You need to invest in your business and you need to invest in yourself. So depending on if you're a business that's trying to grow your business, you have to invest in your business. And we have different ways to make it, you know, more affordable. We have several different options. So my thing with anyone that's on the fence is just have a conversation with any of us. And we, depending on what your outcome is, are you going to learn? Are you going to educate yourself? We even have a home grower ticket that's a one-day ticket that's a $99 rate. We have options depending on what you can and can't do to help you get there. But I think figuring out what your goals are. Are you a professional that's trying to get into the industry and you need to learn? Are you investing in yourself in that way? Do you own your own business and you're trying to further your business? There are always ways to do that. And I know that, you know, sometimes a price tag can, you know, deter people, but there are always options. So I just always say, like, if you're ready to invest in your business, you're ready to invest in yourself and grow both of those things, reach out to us and tell us what your goals are. And we have different packages to help you.
Yeah, and we've organized the trade show floor into different categories. We have process packaging, cultivation, business services, and retail. And in each one of those, we have changed. We've recognized maybe some of the hardships of getting there. And we have different booth packages and different experiences, even for the exhibitors now. And we're constantly evolving that to make sure that we're welcoming and we have a place for everyone. We also have budget this year, and I think it's out there for a hosted buyer program, which is awesome. So NJBiz has taken the initiative to listen to our exhibitors, the large and small, to see who you want to be coming to the show. And we're actively outreaching on their behalf and putting new buyers up at the trade show floor.
Sounds great. So MJBizConference.com, MJBizConference.com. Again, the event is in Las Vegas at the Convention Center, December 2nd through the 5th. And I appreciate both of you being on the program once again. Emily Lewis, the Senior Vice President and Brand Leader at MJBiz, Harrison Rady, Vice President of Sales, thank you both for being on. And any last thoughts we should bring up in terms of any registration, you know, promo codes, anything like that, that people should be aware of for those that should be at the show coming up in December?
My only piece of advice, and it's always the same, is plan. Just like anything else, this is a business. It is an amazing business to be a part of, but you need to plan. Plan, look online, plan out your schedule, plan where you're going to stay, plan the activities that you absolutely do not want to miss, like a state takeover or a new activation or experience. And walk the entirety of the floor. You will learn so much about this business by zigzagging that floor. And I do it. Harrison does it at every single show. And I always learn something new. I learn some new innovation, some new company, some brand new something by just literally carving out a few hours and zigzagging and walking up and down those aisles. And you'll meet someone new for sure. You're going to come on with a lot of business cards, that's for sure. So be ready to do some follow-up.
Yeah, and Emily said, if you guys are considering coming to the show in any capacity, get a hold of our team. We're open to discussions. We want to get you there.
Thank you both for being on. Really appreciate it. And that was a really great conversation. And thank you, as always, folks, for listening to Blunt Business. We'll talk to you next time.